Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
You have your copy of God's Word tonight. I'd like for you to turn to the book of James. James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 11 through 17. And we're going to place emphasis on verse 14. I've titled the message tonight, Life is But a Vapor. Life is But a Vapor. James chapter 4. And as you get there, if you could please stand for the reading of God's Word. James chapter 4. Starting with verse 11. And here the Bible says, Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, I'm asking you to anoint me for just a few minutes to be able to preach. Lord, keep me out of the way. Lord, keep my tongue where it needs to be tonight. And Lord, let my thoughts be on the scripture. Bring me remembrance of your word tonight, God. Do a mighty work in our hearts, please, Lord. These things I ask in the name of Jesus. And amen. You can be seated. In this morning's message, I quoted from Hebrews 9 and 27, which says, And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Also, just before I gave the invitation, I was asking a question, and I asked the question, Do you know where you would be if you died right now? Do you know you would be in heaven if you closed your eyes in death at this very moment? Do you know that fact? Do you know that you know that you know that you're going to be in heaven when you close your eyes in death? I couldn't help but think after I talked about that this morning about how truly short life is. Sometimes it seems like, you know, I've talked to some folks that are up in age and they'll sit around and they'll say, Boy, I just want to go on home. Been around all this time. I'm ready to go. And I understand that. We're ready to go see Jesus in heaven. I'm ready right now. If the Lord wanted to take me, I'm ready to go now. But we always have that longing to be here. If you didn't, you wouldn't go to the doctor when you got sick. You just go ahead and pass away if that's what your desire was to do. But I started thinking about that this morning and wondering, what if this had been the very last day that I got to preach to the congregation in Highland Baptist Church? What if been the very last day that you got to hear a message from God's Word? What if been the very last time we saw each other on this side of heaven, or for some people on this side of hell? What would we do? What would we change? What would we make different in our life if we knew that our time had come? Well, little did I know as I was preaching this morning, over in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there was killing going on over in the streets there. As we were here worshiping the God of heaven, praising Jesus for the sacrifice on the cross for us, there were people over in Baton Rouge that were murdering people. Evil hatred going on. If you saw the news today that what happened there, this five police officers shot, three dead, two more wounded. I believe they might have added another one that got shot, maybe six of them that got shot after I'd already prepared this message. One of the gunmen dead, two others on the run, still looking for them. The situation's still running through. We don't know the details. But all the while we were here in church worshiping, talking about one day maybe going on to heaven, people over here without a single thought of heaven, without a single thought of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, without a thought of human compassion on another person. In fact, the only thought that was going on today in that area by some of those people that were shooting was nothing but pure hatred. hatred. That's what drove them. Now, I know these police officers, they understand that any day that they go out to do a job could be their last day. I know they know that. They know that they're in a dangerous position. Things could happen, and they're aware of that. But I can guarantee you this morning, there was not one of these three that died that woke up thinking, you know what, today's my last day. Today is going to be the last day that I get to see my kids. Today is going to be the last day that I'll ever get to get up and drink a cup of coffee and enjoy the day and see the sunshine outside. I'd say not a one of them thought that. Because we all believe that everything's going to be okay through the day. We're not expecting to get shot and killed, murdered. But I'm sure that none of them thought they were going to get killed today. But they did. They did. In our opening text we just read there, it's an inspired letter written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. Now, the book of James is a lot different than the rest of the Bible. The book of James, you don't read it for comfort. If you want comfort, go and read the Psalms or something. But don't read James, because that's not going to give you a lot of comfort. James does not pull any punches. In fact, James is in your face. James, if you don't watch out, James will punch you in the gut, and he'll leave you there exposed to who you really are. I can tell you the many times I've read through the book of James and found myself guilty of some of these things that he's writing about and some of the problems that I have in my life. But verse 12 says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy." We're back in James chapter 4. "And to destroy, who art thou that judgest another?" So here James is telling us there's one lawgiver. He's the one lawgiver and the law taker, the life taker, the destroyer. There is one that's able to do that. And he's talking about the Lord, not us, but he's saying, "Who art thou that judgest another?" In other words, who died and made you God? And he goes on to say in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue their gear, and buy and sell, and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." Here in verse 13 that we read, James is warning against self-confidence. He's not teaching to not have good business sense or a good business practice. We certainly need to have that in our lives. We need to be good stewards of what God's gave us. That's not what he's talking about. He's teaching against leaving God out of your plans. In other words, you've took it upon yourself that you're going to be in control of it all. And you've left God completely out of your plans. That's what he's talking about. And he says you're boasting about this. He does in a few verses over, but we boast that we are going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. This and that. It kind of reminds me of that rich fool over in the parables of Jesus over there in Luke 12 and 16 that talks about how he was going to tear down his barns and make bigger barns and all those. And the Bible said, "You fool, you know, you don't know what tomorrow holds." And what is your life? Here the writer says, "What is your life?" Friends, without God, we don't have enough sense, as my dad said, to get out of the rain. He used to tell me, "You don't have enough sense to get out of the rain, boy." And how true that was as a young man. But you know what? Without the Lord, we don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. Without the Lord, we don't have the ability to get up and breathe a breath of air. Without the Lord, you didn't have the ability to walk into this building tonight. Without the Lord, we wouldn't be able to do anything. But yet we boast and brag about we did this and we did that. And he says not to do that. You know, to make these plans that you are going to do all this without the Lord. You may have noticed down in your bulletins, if you ever look at that, I've got a little, in very small print, some of you might, Kurt, you probably can't see that. It says, "All songs and messages are subject to change upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit." And I fully believe that. We may put out a program here and we may follow it. But just like tonight, I had the feeling that the Lord did not want me to do that one song and change it to the other one we did. And I believe that it ought to be that way. If I get up here and I've got a message already prepared and written down, if God suddenly tells me that's not what I want you to preach, then I'll just preach something else. And I think we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that Lord willing, we'll do this. If you ever read any of my notes or writings or anything, I'm constantly saying, "Lord willing, I'm going to do this, Lord willing." Or if I post something about the church that we're going to have, I'll say, "Lord willing, we're going to meet on this day or that day." And I think that's what we need to do. Because if it's the Lord's will, then we'll do it. If it's not, we're not going to. But he goes on to say in verse 14, this is where I want to put my thrust here on this text right here. For what is your life? And then he answers it. He says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever got up on a cold morning? I remember when me and my sisters would get up and we'd go to the bus stop down at the end of the road there on Monroeville Road. And we'd wait for that bus. And it'd be in the fall time, getting kind of cool outside. Then it'd start getting into, you know, into November and things, and late October. And we would go down to the bus stop and we'd sit there and we'd say, can you see your breath? And we'd go, and you could see your breath in the air because of that coldness and the warmth coming out of your mouth. But you could only see it for just a little time, and then it was gone, just like that. It just vanished away. For just a little while, there was a vapor there, a mist. That's what this word right here means, this vapor. It means a mist. It's like a mist. Our life is just like that. One minute we're here, we're walking around, we're somebody, we've got breath in our body, we're able to speak and see and talk and hear, and the next minute, none of those things. We're gone. We're gone. Life is very short. Job understood how short life was. He said in Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. And then in Job 7:9, he said, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Listen, I'm not trying to be morbid with you tonight, but I want you to look around at the folks that are in here tonight. We don't know that this may be the last time we see each other. This may be your last time. Somebody sitting in here tonight, me, myself, your pastor, it may be the last time that I'm able to stand behind a pulpit and preach. It may be the last time you're able to hear a message preached. You don't know when your time's coming. And friends, we need to be aware of it. You may have a family member, a friend, a co-worker, somebody you're acquainted with that you know is lost and they're going to hell. We don't know when their last day is. We don't know when the last time that we're able to speak with this mouth right here and tell them about the gospel, about Jesus. We don't know the last time that we'll be able to do that. So like Paul says, we need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. People are dying. People are lost. People are going to hell. There may be people today that you hold a grudge against. I know some people that are Christians that have grudges against each other and their families. They hate each other. And they'll tell you right up front, I hate them. I'll never forgive them for what they've done. There's people like that today that are Christians. What if this was the last day that you ever had to make things up with that person you held a grudge against? Well, if it's the last day you were able to tell somebody you were sorry for something you did to them? Well, if it's the last day, that lost person you've been putting off telling about Jesus, shouldn't we be doing everything possible right now that we can to be able to tell others? Shouldn't we be redeeming the time right now when we can? The writer says it's even a vapor, our life, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And it's been a pretty short message, but I believe we've gotten the point across what the Lord's trying to tell us. This life that we live, friends, it is very short. We don't have a guarantee when you walk out this door tonight that you'll be back again Wednesday, next Sunday, that you'll see that person beside you right now. That I'll get to see you again. You'll get to see me again. Let's redeem the time while we can, because it's very short.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.